IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
Okay, coming up very shortly, we continue our Thursday morning series called Your Voice, Your Community. This week, we're going to speak to members of the Nigerian community about coming to live in Donegal, about life here, but also an understanding of what life for them was like in Nigeria. But I want to get to some answers, right? So we were asked, can you vote if you don't have a polling card? Those who are on the register of electors will have a polling card sent to their registered address before polling day. The card includes your elector number, the name of your polling station, and a formal statement explaining what the referendum are about, or the referenda. Now, if you are on the register but you haven't received your polling card by tomorrow, you can still vote. So you go to your polling station and bring your ID with you. If the presiding officer is satisfied with your ID, they'll provide you with a stamped ballot paper. Valid forms of ID include a passport, driver's license or public services card. Now, you can check the register to see if you're on it. So if you're on the register but you haven't received a polling card, you can bring ID and you can still vote tomorrow. The second question, how do you remove someone who is deceased from the register of electors, or what is it called, the electoral register? Far more complicated. Can't find any information on that. So we're going to make a few phone calls to try and get a definitive answer, because I understand the pain that can cause. So we want to try and get an answer. Hi, Greg. I'm registered in Clonmany and didn't get one in Clonmany, a voting card, and the rest of the family did. So again, if you are registered, turn up with your ID and you can vote tomorrow. Just a message for Greg on the voting cards. Having checked the register and made sure both myself and husband were registered for the current referenda, it affects us as a family with child requiring full-time care and support. My husband's vote card came in. When I inquired this morning as to why my card hadn't come, I was born in the UK, raised in Ireland, educated, employed, married and raising my own family in Ireland. It turns out I cannot vote in referendums where it matters and hugely impacts on our lives. I'm good enough to provide the care needed, but I don't have a say when it counts and could make a difference and benefit the people of Ireland. However, I can vote for who can go into government when it benefits them. A disappointed mammy and carer this morning, who now will go and look into how I formally obtained my Irish citizenship despite being here my whole life. Wow, okay, that's interesting. So you've been here your whole life, and because you're not an Irish citizen, you can't vote in the referendums. I didn't realise that. Okay, maybe a lot of people out there in the same boat. Greg, I got this email last night. It's very authentic and genuine looking. However, my email address, while being correct, has a full stop between my initials and surname. I did have a McAfee antivirus account on a device a few years ago, but not anymore. I can easily see how someone could be duped by this invoice. Maybe others should be alerted to this type of scam. So it's quite simple, really. It looks the business. It is an invoice from McAfee. They provide antivirus software. When we talk about companies getting, you know, data leaks, email addresses and all being leaked, that's probably where that comes from. So McAfee down the line somewhere maybe had a data breach and people's information was taken from their databases. I would say that's actually what happened. The dot between the dot on the email address is a little bit peculiar, but anyway, thank you very much for that. And it's Your Voice, Your Community, and we're talking to members of the Nigerian community about coming to Donegal life and life here, and just learning a little bit more about them as well. We say good morning first to Felicia Orifi Yusau.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you, Greg.
Lovely to have you on board. And Tony Joel Abimbola. Abimbola. Thank you, both of you, very much. Tony, just before we were about to go live, said, start with Felicia. Don't come to me first, Tony. But listen, come here. I'm not going to be bad to you. I'll speak to Felicia first. But we'll have a general conversation amongst the three of us. Felicia, how long now have you been in Ireland? It's a long time now, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's been a long time, yeah. I came into Ireland about 21 years now, yes. So it's been a pretty long time.
Did you come here with your family 20 years ago, or did you have your family here?
I actually came in with my husband, but my three beautiful ones were born here in Ireland.
Okay, and how much did you know about Ireland before coming here?
It wasn't really in my radar then. It was just out of curiosity. It was a new terrain for me. I just wanted to come in and have a feel of the Irish life.
And what was life like in Nigeria that made you and your partner decide that you felt you needed to go to Pastures New?
Yeah, back home, it wasn't as bad as it is now as at the time I left. But I would say the young mind, we just wanted to explore. He wanted to go to school. I just wanted to jump into the boat to come with him. And yeah, and that's been our story.
And at that time, were you considering, you know, if we have a family, where is a good place to raise them? Because obviously, you know, when you make that bigger move, often you don't move back. You know, we've seen with people born in Ireland moving to Australia or America, they can tend to stay there and settle. So there was an awful lot to go through in terms of, right, it's not only our futures, it's potentially the future of our children as well.
Yeah, I would say that was actually on the list, raising them somewhere outside of Nigeria. I just wanted the Western world way of actually having them here grow, and also giving them both cultures. I just wanted something quite different from where I grew up. Yeah, so I would say raising them here was part of the plan.
And whilst you talk about how when you were in Nigeria, there might not have been an immediate danger at that time, but it is still more dangerous than Ireland, or was it the same then? Or now, do you know in a way where you have pockets or groups of people that can be responsible for, you know, murder or fighting or what have you?
Yes, I would say even as at that time I left, though it wasn't as bad as it is now, there was still unrest. We were still from the region where I came from. It's a little bit turbulent. It's called the Niger Delta region. We've got, I would say, it's a bit turbulent there. So I would say, yeah, it wouldn't be as safe as it was or as it is in Ireland. So that would have been, yeah, another reason just to have a more, I would say, decent and safe place to raise the kids.
Now, anytime I ask a question that's wrong, I want you to correct me, because this is all about understanding and learning as well. But I talked a little earlier on about Irish people moving to Australia or America, for an example. Culturally, there's not that big a difference. Do you know what I mean between someone from Ireland and Australia and America? But culturally, is there a big difference between Nigeria and Ireland? And how do you sort of, you know, become part of the community here, but also don't lose yourself, or you also sort of make sure your children know where they come from?
Yeah, I would say one major thing I will appreciate about the Irish culture is the family unit. So I would say coming in here was, that would be the first thing that actually struck me, the way the family unit is well represented here. So back home and here, there will be little or no difference with the way the family unit is set. So
that, and the importance of family.
Yes, yeah. So that will be a plus. Then culturally, I would say there's really no much big difference. There's really no much wide gap. The only thing I would say, it's the idea that back home we tend to, you see, there's this thing back home that I can't look at my elders at the face. They see that as rude. But I came to notice here in Ireland, they see you, if you can't have eye contact, it's as if you're not telling the truth. Mm-hmm. So that was something really major.
So is it a respect thing at home?
Yeah,
then?
At
so,
home it's yeah, a respect thing. I can't look at my elders straight in the eyeballs, that it's rude.
That makes arguing difficult, doesn't it?
Exactly. So, but here, that was something that actually got me at the first, that when you want to talk to an elder and you put your face down, they tend to feel probably you're lying or you're timid. That would have been the main thing that actually struck me when I initially came. And it took me a long while to actually get through that, just to be able to...
What about the climate? The difference between the climates?
That would be tough. It's still tough on me. You know, back home, it's we've got the tropicals. I love the sun, and we've got the rains, but we've got seasons for the rain.
Specific seasons,
rain. But I've come to say that the Irish weather is just like the Irish, not too stable. This minute you've got rain, the next minute you've got snow. I would say, yeah, the weather was a problem for me then, and it's still a problem.
Yes, it's a problem.
It's
for
not
all
something
of us,
I don't think it's something. Yeah, it's not something I would get used to.
Okay, Felicity, I'll come back to you in a moment.
Thank you, Tony,
as I mentioned, with us. Tony, you've been here longer than Felicity. You've been here now for 24 years in Ireland, and Letterkenny for 20 years.
Letterkenny is my home.
Yeah. How was your journey? Does much of what Felicia has been talking about the decisions and what, like, why did you decide to leave Nigeria?
That's a very good question. I decided to leave Nigeria for a better life. That is the first point. But getting to Ireland, everybody know Irish people all over the world. If you don't know Irish people, then you don't know what Ireland is all about. Because anywhere you go in this world, if you don't find Irish people, then you move. So I've heard about Ireland for all my life, and we know about these people called Irish people, because the first missionary we have in Nigeria, the Irish people sent by the British. But then we think they are British people, but they are Irish missionary.
Mm-hmm.
So we already know about Irish people when it comes to humanity, back home when we were born. So for me, decide for Ireland, I'm deciding for a place that I'm going to live my life, my second home. So I've been living in Donegal. I came here with a lot of people. Many people have already migrated, but this is my home.
You came here as a single man.
Person.
We heard Felicia came with her partner. So how many did you come with and roughly, and sort of how many stayed for a while and went somewhere else, and what proportion of them sort of made their life here?
Yeah, when I left home, come back here to Ireland, I was on my own here before I met my ex-woman. She's from here, she's from Enishon here. And she have a beautiful children for me. I have three boys and one girl. So my daughter is in the university, and my son is going to Queen's University also to become a medical science.
Fantastic.
And my daughter is a nurse. So
when you first came here,
It was tough.
Talk to me about that.
When I first came here, it was tough.
Was tough?
Yeah, what's tough for me is that I'm in a new place, no family. So I have to start from the crash as a new beginner. It takes me a lot of years, because now, if you see in Letterkenny now, there is a lot of black people. But when I came here, none. So I fight the struggle on myself.
Now, was that how you felt, or is that how you were treated?
No, the Irish people didn't treat me.
So it was just you felt
like a fish out of water.
Yeah, because
I'm in a different place with a different system. So I have to just to face the challenge of new begin, which I was very, very young then, compared to now where I know the system of where I'm living now.
Another thing too about our identity, because we always like our identity, and we're proud of who we are and where we're from. I think sometimes often people talk of people from Africa as if they're all the same. There's some misogynist, not misogynist, I can't remember the word anyway, but some group that are all the same. But each country is different, and within each country there are sort of, you know, there are differences and what have you. Do you find that you were sort of just grouped in with an entire continent? In other words, did people understand that you're from Nigeria and that you might have specific sort of, you know, cultural differences to other people in Africa?
Of course. I find that, but if I can understand what you're trying to say, like the Irish people, the way they find me, is that what you mean? You mean when I get to Ireland here, do I find it difficult?
Yeah, I'll tell you, no, I'm not explaining this correctly, but say for instance, I'd be very proud to be Irish.
Yeah.
But if I went to America, if I was just sort of seen as a European, do you know what I mean? I'd feel I'd be losing a little bit of myself.
Yeah.
But I didn't explain that question very well, but we'll come back to that. In terms of racism, is that something that you've had to endure, Tony, at all, or more or less than you would have expected?
When it comes to the issue of racism, my experience about racism is ignorant. First thing I can say about it. Racism, for me, is a part of the nature we live in, but it's a dirty attitude. Mm-hmm. Before I was born, before my father was born, racism had been existing. So if I see anyone that acts, I call them ignorant people. If I see them or I have a conversation with them, I try my best to talk to that person, whoever you are. You are white or I'm a black. I can't change it. It's like I tell my children or my community for right now, because we have a community in Donegal now. The time I came in here, it's more easier for me. Like I say, with mixing with the Irish people, very easy. Mm-hmm. The time I come to this country, we're using pounds. I will go to the Irish bar. I won't spend that pounds. I will come back home with that £5.
Yeah.
They will welcome me, because Irish people know what is called migration.
Yes.
They've been there before anyone in this Europe. So what we Africa go through, Irish people went through that. So Irish people are supposed to be the last person to talk about racism, because they've been there, done it. They've seen the hard time we are going through.
But have you seen a change in this country over the 20 years then?
Yes, a lot of changes. And
in terms of acceptance?
A lot. Because the young generation that are coming up, they see themselves equal.
So a positive change.
So you're positive
change. Would you agree with that, Felicia?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say when I actually came in to the country 20 odd years ago, the population of Africans would be not really of any high rate. But you can still see some people that will still look at you strangely who's this? As if, sometimes I look back at myself and I wonder, have I got something in my face or do I look strange? But as time goes on, you see, the kids we had or are having, I think it's sort of making things a little bit easier, because they were born here, they grew with them, they've got their asset. I would speak for myself when I was in the college at LYIT, when I went to do my degree then, I had a problem of communication. It wasn't as if they don't hear me, but some of them just wouldn't want to accept the way I talk.
They could hear you, but
they
weren't listening.
They could hear me, they weren't listening. So there's this constant, pardon me, and one day I just told myself, this was it. So I looked straight into his eyes and I like, you don't even speak English. So you don't tell me to pardon you. You've got an accent the same way I've got an accent, because the Donegal accent is something I am struggling to even understand. So you don't tell me. And that was it, Greg. That was it. So it was as if it was just, okay, I don't like you. I don't like your color. I don't like your accent. It wasn't as if they didn't hear what I was saying. But I would say with the kids now, if my son talks and wants to talk like a Donegal man, I won't even hear him. So there's no way somebody will look at him and say, okay, because you've got a brown skin, I can hear you. If he wants to be Irish, he goes Irish. Then if he wants to talk to mom, he comes back to mom and say, okay, we'll talk the way mom will understand. So I would say with time...
So your children can switch between Donegal accent
exactly.
And what?
Okay. They can. I've got three of them.
It's not language now. We're talking about accents.
Accent.
Interesting.
It's not the language, it's the accent. So yeah. I've got three of them, and sometimes when they want to mess, they go the Donegal accent and I like, are you guys singing? And they will go, mom. So I would say the racial discrimination would have lessened a bit. Maybe the fact that we have more children that are brown skinned but they're Irish.
compared second to generation,
yeah, second generation compared to when I came in, I would say, yeah.
Okay, there's a couple positive of questions in relation to that, but we're not focusing on that because there's more to life than that. But I just think it's an opportunity to get an interesting insight. This is an item on the show we call Your Voice, Your Community. We're in the company of two members of the Nigerian community, but the Irish community as well, having been here for 20 plus years. And we're going to speak about the progress and what have you. And I certainly don't want to have this feature focusing on negatives, but I think it's good if I want to get an understanding as well for all of us as how other people, things impact their lives. And Felicia, I was just thinking, you know, and you talking about your children and what have you. They are Irish. They were born here. I'm Nigerian, I presume. But, you know, they are born and bred here in Ireland. And I just wonder, has anything changed for them in the last couple of years where we are seeing, I suppose, a more vocal anti-immigrant sort of a conversation that's happening? And in that, you know, you've been here for a couple of decades, but I wonder, do maybe some people just blindly see you as that you've just arrived in the country or what have you, or even your children in particular? Has that changed over the last couple of years as countries seem to be getting more nationalist?
Yeah, I would say that there's this notion that every dark-skinned person or every non-looking Irish person just got into the country. Mm. So yeah, I would believe some of them are just not, like Tony will say, they're just ignorant. Mm. You don't just see someone on the street and because I am black, you assume I just crossed the border.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are still people that will still look at you and still think you're just that immigrant that just got in and you have no place in Ireland. Yeah, there are still people like that, and there are incidents that sometimes you would wonder, how do we make these people understand that I'm not just one person getting into the country yesterday. I've been here. Yes, I am much Irish as you are. But
and I suppose too, when children are having a go with each other, we sort of have to separate maybe some commentary or feelings that are actually based on race, or if it's like, it could be because I've got no hair, or it could be because you're wearing glasses, or it could be, you know, your someone's weight or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Would words that are being used, are they racial words, but is that the actual motivation for it? Is it a little bit, not more difficult, there's not a hierarchy here, Tony, but your children being mixed race,
yes,
has that been at all difficult for them?
Yes, I don't see any different. I can say that they feel it tougher.
Mm.
But one thing I let them understand is they are who they are. It's what you build in their mind. Because it could happen tomorrow, my children is going to end up back in, even in Africa where I'm from.
Yes.
And they will face the same thing. They will.
Yeah.
They could go to Australia. But it's the mindset, I let those kids have that. You are whom you are.
Yeah, I remember in my early 20s, like I've lived in Ireland all of my life, but my accent sort of has an English tone to it. And I lived in England, and over there I was Paddy this and Mick that and Irish. Mm. And my life was actually really quite tough, not as tough as many.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back here and I was a Brit. I was this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, caught in between.
You couldn't, like, it was like, well, where do you belong? But then I'd go down to Dublin and they would go, oh, you're from Donegal.
Yeah.
And I was all chuffed with myself. So sort of have an identity, I probably had to not be in England or in. Now, obviously, that's a long time ago and it's nothing really what people go through, but I do have an understanding to some extent of. Go ahead, Tony.
So that is the reason why I use the language that you can never stop this issue of discrimination.
Yeah.
So it's the way the government, the society we are living, they try to radicalize, to take it out. They've been working hard. You can see it in a football pitch, in different places, to stop this issue of racism. The government, they're trying their best. So the only thing I can do, especially in my community, this African community we build in this town, is to let these people know. You look yourself in the mirror, you're born to see yourself black or white. do that thing in your head, because the generation we live in now is more tougher than my own time. Technology have made things worse now. So I say to my children, you are whom you are. Discrimination will continue going for generation unborn to come.
We'll always find...
It's going to continue forever.
Sometimes I think we find a way as humans to sort of... Yeah, go ahead, Tony. You're not finished. I beg your pardon. Yeah.
So the point is, discrimination is here in this country. Don't get me wrong. It's going on. It's happening. In this, even though in Donegal, where he's living here, 2 weeks ago, I was stopped on the way in the main street. A guy insulted me about, what do they call this place I am? I said, yes, island, Donegal. Then he tell me, fuck off. But I look at him as ignorant. They don't even know what he's saying. Continue talking to him, he's jobless. So he believed I come to this country to take his job. He believed that, when I have a conversation, I try to have a conversation with him, I discover that he's just living on the social welfare. Right? So the little one he thinks he's having, I'm coming to take it. But one thing he forgot, that foreigners, immigrants, hurt more to the economy. Any country that have no immigrant, you will not grow. Because not every immigrant are coming here to take. There's some immigrant here hurt more to the economy. So that's what I'm building on our community. Make sure you have the best education. If you want to be a welder, be the best. Electrician, be the best. If you want to go to school, be the best. And hurt more to the economy that accepts you here. Not everybody is going to the door to sit on the door. That's not it. But some people are still using one excuse or another. Believe every immigrant in this place are coming to take their houses. That's not free houses, eh? The government themselves that allow foreigners to come into the system, they know what they're doing. Any country, look at rich people in Australia. They went there to work. They don't go there to call it money free. All over the last people I would believe to think that would discriminate people would be the Irish people, because they are everywhere. I met them in my country.
Did you want to say something, Felicia?
Yeah, I was just going to say, as regards this discrimination, the racism stuff, it's a mindset. That's the way I see it.
Well, what conditioned that way? I think, is it Nina Cherry had a song, 7 Seconds? And I believe it was effectively the point B, is that, you know, we're not born to see any difference in each other. That's raised into us.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, Greg. It's a mindset that was actually taught to these people. You see, none. You see, if you see two little ones, one is dark and the other is white, they don't see the difference. But it is when you start feeding that child that, oh, there's a difference. That person doesn't belong here.
Do you know, it reminds me, and I hope this is not in any way offensive and it's not interned that way, but I remember there was... A young boy joined my son's national school, and he came home, and I says, how was school today? And he says, I can't remember his name, but there was a lovely brown boy came to school, right? And I, in my first instance, I was like, oh, you can't say that. No. And then I thought, no, actually.
He's brown.
Yeah, but he was just identifying. Yeah. It could have been a red-haired, or it could have been a girl, or, you know. And I thought, actually, you know what, that's okay.
Yeah, so it is only when you start making a fuss about it.
So I can explain it then, you see. So then I could say, well, you can't say that because that might upset him, and, you know. But anyway, but my point is it was pure innocence. It was literally just...
Exactly.
Differentiating people from hair colour or this, that, and the other. And it was just then, and I often think on that and thought, you know, if he ever ended up having any racial feelings, it would have been learned or what have you. Yeah. Exactly. It wouldn't have been because
he was born that
I saw that it wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. Right. So, okay. Then, do either of you have any view on immigration before we move on to other stuff? In terms of, you talked of housing and houses that are available, Tony, and we have a situation where people are coming to this country, having to lie in the street in tents and what have you. Is there, do you have a view, either Felicia or Tony, as to whether we should continue with our current practice or we should pause things until such time as we have better facilities? Or I'm just interested to get your views on what you think of Ireland's current immigration policy. Do you have any particular feeling on it? Felicia, you first?
Or? Yeah, I would say, Greg, for any European nation to be able to open their borders to immigrants. There are fundings and there are allocations for that. Before this high rise of influx of immigrants into Ireland, we've always had the housing issues. So I would have thought when the borders were opened or when these people were allowed in, the government should have at least taken into consideration housing, because that's been a major issue even before this influx. So saying immigrants coming in in a way stretching that facility will be, to me, out of tune. If I was to have you in my house as a guest, let me just use that as an example, Greg, I would make all provision to give you a good welcome.
Have a spare room.
Make your stay as much comfortable as I would want myself to be. So if the government actually are not in the same line, or they know the people that are coming in, they know how many people. Some they can't really check, but others they can. So if they know the people that are coming in and the facilities are overstretched and they still want them in, then I think that falls on the government and not the immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have housing issues and the government still believes we can still take people on, I won't be beating the immigrants that are coming in because they let them come in. Mm-hmm. I won't ask you to my house if I don't have a space for you. So I would say the housing issue, the government still needs to look into that. And also, it's a two-way traffic, I'll say. Check what your capability is and also check the people you want in.
Tony, do you have a say on that?
I don't have much to say on that. What I can say, if I compare the Irish island I live far back 24 years ago to now, the countries have improved a lot. When it comes to immigration, the Welt part of it, government continue improving in every way of this immigrant or whatever. Look at the UK here. So I can say with my own experience, the government are trying their best on that issue. Like my sister saying here, the housing, this thing have been existed for donkey years, which everybody know. But we shouldn't blame them on immigrants. Now, as I'm talking to you here, when these people called Ukrainian people come to this town, I can tell you categorically, I put them in the house for some time, not even black, green. I even help them to look for houses in Kilmacrana here, drive them with my car, take them to the social welfare when they have something to do, because I was in that situation when I came to this place. So that issue doesn't mean that, I have to help my own black. I find immigration, they can't even speak. They have to do voice translation. So when I listen to it, then I voice back on my phone, you listen to them. I put them in my house for over 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I can say to you, and even though the family that owns the house in Kilmacrana, they can hear me now. I help them lift their thing to get them houses, which I don't even do for my community. So immigration issue, this country I don't even know how to preach. Ireland is a beautiful country.
It is.
Let me tell you. For my here, a lot of my friends have already go back to America, Canada. This is my home. I love this community here. The people that want to discriminate me or whatever, they should continue. They do whatever they want. Like a fellow that going up and down with a camera, trying to brainwash the young generation that coming up to say, this is an island, we have to think about our people. Is that the way people in Australia carry a banner or carry telephone and what is it called? Camera and going to New Zealand or these countries for New Zealand people. Listen, Irish people don't behave that way. Irish people are very interesting people.
I call us as respect to Tony, but from my experience, Ireland is a racist country. I think if people have experiences of racism, I don't think you can, you can't paint an entire country based on the actions of some, you know. And I think we're quite quick to do that with all different sections of society, that we have a bad experience with one person, whomever it might be, and we sort of say, well, they're all the same.
No, Irish people...
I can only go by what the people I know.
Yeah.
Right? I work with Irish people.
I don't live in any particular fancy circles,
no.
But I don't believe any... I don't feel that I live in a racist community.
No.
But that's easy for me to say because I'm...
I work with Irish people. Live with them. Nightlife, enjoy my life. They sleep in my house. I can say I'm a black Irish. But you always find one black sheep that think... See, the generation we live in, like my sister said, you see all this generation, the African black children or whatever the part of the world, they don't see themselves with color. Mm-hmm. They don't see themselves. And when I came to this country, I see the Irish people tell me about the history, what they've been through some years, some century ago. It's exactly what we've been through back home. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons, because you asked my sister one question, what is the difference with our culture, with Irish culture? I don't. The only thing I see with our culture is the weather. Because what Irish people been through is what we, Nigeria, been through.
That's why I asked.
It's only weather, I see. When it comes to...
So we have more in common than we have.
100%. 100%.
That's
so don't forget my point. You will always find one ignorant.
In any community.
In anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Right. This is what I can tell you.
So what work is being done now? It's only recently the African community, an African community organization was set up. You're both involved in that, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's called different things on my sheets, but it's the same thing. So it's relatively new, okay? Mm. So Felicia, my niece is called Alicia.
Yeah, no,
some people call
Felicia.
Her Alicia and Alicia, and I'm getting confused myself here now. So, what is the as you see the function of this all inclusive African community here in Donegal?
Yeah, so Greg, Beautiful Minds came together a couple of months back and just decided that they needed to better group. And the group was christened the African community in Donegal, where we have all in Africa come together under the same roof. So the main thing I would say we do is the coming together to empower, to represent, to skill, to advise, to give information. We would have everyone in. We appreciate the fact that we are all Africans. We've got differences, but with that differences, we can put that together to empower ourselves. So that hub will be a place for information to people that are Africans that are just either coming into Donegal or are in Donegal and don't have a bearing. So that you would, it's a place we would want people to come in to get information, to get empowered. So like Tony said, there are people that will come in that need houses, that need to know what education they could go to, courses they can apply for, how to go about that. Some of them come in and they don't even know how to get their PPS number.
Yeah,
you get them to do that. Then there are jobs. Offers you can advise people to do courses to pick up. We are in the midst of even doing workshops to get people to free workshops where we can, for women, where we can give them maybe ideas of those that want to go into baking, they want to have their own personal businesses, how to register those businesses, how to go about things like that. So it's like a hub of information, collaboration, and coming together.
And Tony, there are challenges within the challenges, isn't that? You might have someone that's come here or is living here. There's a language barriers, but also they might be, I think you mentioned that a lot of them might be single mothers. So that creates a whole subset of problems within.
Good question. Like my sister said.
Thankfully, I got a smile out of Tony at last. And a good question. Felicia, I'll give you a high five, but you're too far away. Go on, Tony. I love to see your teeth. Go on.
I love this question you bring on now. You hear about our African community in Donegal. It's just under the umbrella of we come into this system of Ireland. So we are the first foundation for the newcomer here. And what we've been through in the difficult side of this country, we don't want them to go through it. One. And secondly, the generation we're living today is different than the one we live. So our children that are coming up, our people that are joining the system, we want to bring them We don't want everything to be on the government. We'll be in the system. We want to show them the guideline, how they can be positive to the system and how we can be useful to the community we were living. We want to be first of all the voice of our people so that they can have it easy than the way we go through hard time. I'm using myself as an example because nobody showed me.
They're standing on your shoulders.
Because
really,
nobody, I repeat, nobody tell me what to do. But our community is growing. We want to work with the local GAD. We want to work with the county council.
Should people be afraid that your community is growing? Because, you know, you referenced things earlier on that people feel that, that this is a replacement, that Irish people will no longer exist because they'll all be replaced by people from outside of Ireland.
This type of things, it will happen to me if I'm in my country. For example, if I'm living in Nigeria and I see the population of Irish people or white, sorry to use the language, white people is dominating. It's in the human, that's why I said at the beginning, it's in the human nature, you can never, ever stop this issue of discrimination. We put a symbol, discrimination. This issue will be coming up. It's like intimidation. It's like intimidation. Oh, they're coming to take over the country. They're coming to do this. But our African community, we want to be useful to where we are living. We want to be part of the system. You see, along the line where we are, somebody like me growing up in this place, it's like wave. I fell. I picked myself up on my own. Nobody tell me, Tony, this is the way to go. Sometimes it took me years before I start walking again because I believe what I'm doing is right. Sometimes it's not even right. So that experience, we want to bring into our community.
That's a human experience.
If our children is going to be electrician, we want them to be the best. If they're going to be the carpenter, we want them to be the, because they're going to fall out of the track along the line. We want to be there for them. Like my sister said, if they need something, they have a place to run to. If the guardian wants, if something is wrong in our community, guardian now know that we have a voice. They can call our chairman, they can call the secretary, that something blah, blah, blah happened in your community. Leave it to us.
Okay. Listen, it's been really interesting. I hope you found it useful and informative. Tony, Joel, Abimbola, thank you so much for calling in to us. Felicia, Orifi, Yusau, thank you so very much. It's been really, you know, it's been really insightful and I really appreciate both of you calling up to
us. Thank you.
Thank you so very much indeed.